Success is service in life. It's not about me. It's not about how much I can acquire, how much knowledge I have, and how I can leverage that against other people. It's about how I'm able to leverage what I've acquired in life and how I'm able to share it with others, right? How I'm able to show others how they can do that in whatever context that looks like for them.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know. Share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further. Welcome back to Weiss Advice. I'm your host, Yonah Weiss.
Yonah, good to see you, my man.
Oh, man, we have such a special guest today. Carl, it is a pleasure. Are you joining me?
Pleasure is all mine, my friend. Thank you so much for having me, man. This is so interesting to be on this side of the table. I'm usually the one asking the questions.
Right. Absolutely. So Carl, I mean, just so you guys know a little bit about Carl. Carl's a podcast host himself. So he's got a really cool podcast you should definitely check out called the Free Time Podcast.
That's correct.
I'd love to touch on that a little bit, but he's launching another podcast called
Podcast Genies. Yeah.
Podcast Genies.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, my partners and I own a podcast production company called Streamline Podcasts.
Right.
And we noticed that the podcasting space is ever evolving. I mean, there's just something new every single day that podcasters such as yourself, such as myself, need to keep top of mind. So
yeah,
it's a weekly show that airs where we're just educating on different ways that podcasters can grow their content, how they can scale their message, and really just, you know, increase their reach to the audience that they're really looking to target. So
that's so cool.
It's a nice little mix between education and humor. We really do show our personalities, and we actually take calls on the show so people can call in or write in and we'll take questions live.
That's so cool.
That's a lot of fun. Yeah.
So you guys doing it like as a kind of live streaming thing, or it's also recording and putting up?
Yeah. So at this point in time, it's recording. It's actually, we're going to be dropping it July 1, I believe is a tentative date. So it's coming pretty soon. Mm-hmm. We are currently working out how to get people to call in live. Right now, they're just emailing questions in a couple days before we record. And then we, you know, answer those questions accordingly. But it's been a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
I think the podcasting space has never been hotter than what it currently is, man.
Absolutely. And I think it's just going to get
hotter
and hotter as time goes on.
Absolutely.
So, you know, Carl has a little bit interesting background. You know, after you got your graduate degree, you went into medical sales, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
So that's a great space to be in. I know it's a huge, huge, huge industry, right?
Yeah.
But you have also a little bit of, you know, a taste in real estate investing, which a lot of our listeners relate to, because I'd say the majority of our listeners are either active real estate investors, passive real estate investors, or aspiring real estate investors.
Yep.
And
yep,
especially having listened to so much of the awesome guests that we have here. So tell me, how did you get into that? Because obviously doing something else, right? Your full-time job is in medical technologies, is sales, and you're a podcaster. Where did you get this real estate kind of bug?
Yeah, that's a great question, you know, and I'm happy that you asked. So I caught it from my dad. My dad immigrated to this country in the late 80s from a small country in West Africa called Cameroon. I mean, this guy's got hustle in his blood. And shortly after coming, he had me in the early 90s. And I swear, man, I was in diapers next to him just driving deals like on Saturdays growing up. I mean, I didn't have the traditional Saturdays where it's a bowl of cereal in front of, like, you know, the TV watching cartoons. We were looking at deals. We were looking for any opportunities to make a buck, because that's why he came here. You know, this was the land of opportunity in his eyes. So during my high school years or so, he started acquiring properties, and he was doing it on a smaller scale. You know, we're talking duplexes, we're talking quads, 6 units, 8 units. And I loved the idea of real estate because it was a tangible asset, right? It's a hard asset you could walk up to, touch, drive by, all these beautiful things. But Yonah, it's interesting. My dad, being the shrewd African man that he is, he sort of made me his de facto property manager. So I was the one dealing with, you know, the tenants, the termites, the toilets. We were investing at the time in the north city part of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which you know, it has sort of professional renters. Let's just leave it at that. And so I remember literally having to deal with banging on the doors to collect rent and people, you know, trying to skirt my presence and just deal with all those headaches. So while I loved it growing up, I also grew to resent it. I mean, to me, it just became another job. And it wasn't until I dated a girlfriend of mine just a few years ago whose dad invested in large properties. I mean, we're talking 200-300 doors at a time. And I never had that concept of that being something that was possible. I mean, I always thought that was more to institutional wealth people.
Right.
So talking with him, developing a relationship with him, I quickly learned how, you know, the common man could do it. And I was like, okay, there's a smart way to do this real estate investing thing. And that's when I really got into the passive space that I currently play in today.
Awesome. And so what exactly do you do as a passive investor?
Yeah. So as a passive investor, I look to ride alongside syndicators that I believe know what they're doing in the market. A big thing for me is identifying syndicators that are doing deals in emerging markets, tertiary markets and MSAs that are on the up and up that also have scalability. So I look for syndicators that have property management as part of, you know, the vertical within their organization. I look for syndicators that have great broker relationships that are hopefully getting some great off-market opportunities, because we know it's a saturated market right now, especially in the multifamily space. So a big part of it for me is just the relationship, really just making sure that A, I know, like, and trust the person, and B, they have, you know, my best interest in mind as a passive investor, because as you know, I don't have any control over that asset from a day-to-day standpoint.
For sure. But once you get in there, you're a partner and you're in there for the long run, right?
Correct.
Usually, you know, some of these deals are 5-7 year,
yep,
you know, 10-year investments, and that money is illiquid, right?
It's illiquid. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, if you do it the right way and if you really get yourself educated, and that's where it started with me. You know, once I had the conversations with my ex-girlfriend's dad about how to begin, I really doubled down on education. My dad and I started attending seminars. I mean, we went through courses, podcasts. We listened to shows like what you're producing here and Weiss Advice, just to really make sure that we knew the right questions to ask of a principal on a deal. You know, so I can't stress that, especially to the folks that are listening to Weiss Advice that are aspiring. Get yourself educated.
Yeah.
You know, don't think that the person you're going to give capital to is the end all be all. Like, it starts with you having a general sense of what you're actually investing in.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. It all comes with that. And because of that education, you can invest that capital in the right place and with the right sponsor. And like you said, a lot of it is about vetting that sponsor, knowing that you trust them and that you're in with them like in a relationship for a long haul.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Your money's tied up for a long time. So you got to make sure that, you know, they have the experience, they have the, you know, the wherewithal to overcome challenges that have faced you. And you have money deployed in deals currently, correct?
I do. Yeah. So my dad and I have a portfolio of about 20 apartments in Milwaukee, okay, but on the passive side, we're currently investing in about 172 doors.
And have they weathered the storm in terms of this, you know, the COVID and, you know, the economy? The past few months have been pretty turbulent for real estate and, you know, the economy in general. Have your, you know, portfolio been able to handle that?
Yes. Yeah. We're very, very pleased to say that they've continued to maintain a high collection of rates. I think somewhere around 94% of rents have been collected through May and June most recently. And these were the months that we were very, very skeptical and concerned about. You know, I think the key, Yona, is, again, back to the education standpoint, we only look for deals that are going to weather these types of conditions, right? Where there's a pullback or a contraction in the economy. So we don't go and invest in, you know, class A type properties that are the beautiful high rises that make up a beautiful city skyline. Cause, you know, bearing something like this, right? Those are the first things to become empty. Those are the first properties to become delinquent on rents. We love class C, class B type properties in A areas that typically stay full, that are more sort of workforce housing type properties. Again, in MSAs that are growing, that have big businesses that span a variety of different industries. So we're primarily invested in the Southeast, in South Carolina, actually, where there's a lot of that, you know, thriving in some of those communities and some of those cities that are really starting to boom. So fortunately, we've been able to hang on.
All right. Awesome. Yeah, absolutely. I want to switch gears a little here because I'd love to learn a little bit more about how you got into podcasting and where you found that. Because as a medical sales professional, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where did podcasting come in? And obviously you started with the Free Time Podcast. Was that your first?
I started with the Free Time Podcast. So you hit the nail on the head. You know, I went to school initially to become a physician. That didn't work out for me, but I ended up getting a master's degree in something called molecular imaging and therapeutics, where essentially I teamed up with a team of oncologists and we would write white papers on new emerging medical equipment as far as cancer treatment and delivery of therapy. So that's what really sort of segued me, I should say, into the medical device space. And Yonah, I ended up in the space as like a 24-year-old. I mean, I was deer in headlights. I landed my first job with a startup medical device company. And it's one of those situations where you don't realize how ill-prepared you are until you're in the position, right? Where your team is like, all right, here's a territory, go sell. And I quickly realized that my hard work wasn't going to be enough to actually get the job done. I mean, we're in the startup medical device sales space where we're expecting literally 30 to 40% growth year over year. So I realized that there was a huge gap in my knowledge in terms of being able to penetrate the market.
Well, yeah. I mean, did you have sales experience up until that point?
No. like I said, I was a technical guy. So, you know, I was talking techno babble with physicians and, you know, I could talk shop, but I quickly realized that I didn't have negotiation skills. I didn't have prospecting skills, you know, so on and so forth when it came time to do deals at the C-suite level of these hospitals. And on top of that, I was driving hundreds of miles a day to get from appointment to appointment. So I remember, I think, hearing a recording from Tony Robbins, talking about net time. And I was like, wow, okay, I could probably spend my time a lot better in my car than just listening to rap music. And that's when I got into podcasting. You know, I found some podcasts on sales and I started to really just thirst for knowledge. You know, I started to really seek it out and I would learn things and I would quickly, you know, test them out, try them out. And I started getting results. Mm-hmm. And that's what really opened me up to podcasting, so much so that, you know, a couple years into my career, I had hit it through the park, you know, with sales awards. I became a top professional within our organization. I was like, you know what? It's time for me to pay this back. I very quickly learned that so much of success in my life would be determined upon the amount of people I could serve. And I asked myself, mm-hmm. All right, how do I serve the masses with what I currently know? You know, I'm still learning, but I know a good bit because I've just been into self-education over the past couple of years.
Sure.
I was like, podcasting, this is a great way to reach people. It's a very versatile medium. As you know, people can drive and consume content, so on and so forth. So that's what really gave way to the Free Time Podcast.
All right, awesome. And what's the name kind of gives it away, but what would you say and sum up in a sentence or two, what you do with that podcast?
Yeah, so it's primarily geared towards young professionals. At the time of this recording, I'm 29 years old. So I started the show when I had the idea when I was about 27, 28. And I was finding that a lot of young professionals in my space, primarily in the sales space, they were crushing it at work, but they weren't doing much outside of the 9-to-5, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. In order to actually build a future that they would love to live. Yeah. And so the show started up with the basic premise of, hey, listen, you need to look at your free time as an asset in order to live a life by design. Everybody's talking about where they want to end up. Everybody's talking about, you know, all the exceptional things they want to do with their life. But if they were to audit what they do on a day-to-day, their input doesn't match the output they want to get.
Yeah.
And with young people, especially Yonah, I find that there's this like delusion. There's this misconception that, you know, you're just going to one day wake up into that life that you want to live in 5 or 10 years. And it doesn't work that way. Right. So I like to bring on people that have really created something special in their free time. And we really just sort of break down how they did it. You know, and that could just literally be a couple hours a day working towards that next project, a couple hours a day learning about investing, whatever it may be. I just really want people to think a little bit more proactively about their time because
sure.
At the end of the day, we don't know how much time we have on this beautiful planet. We just don't. So
it's definitely finite.
It is.
That's for sure. And every day, if you take hold of that, and each day can be a new day. And, you know, mm-hmm. You talk about a couple hours a day that may seem daunting to some people. I mean, I've had certain educational endeavors that I do. And over the years, I love to learn, but I, you know, will take sometimes like 10 minutes a day, you know, after a certain activity, like right after, you know, I eat breakfast or right after I eat lunch or, and I make sure to set that time as a, you know, in stone that I'm going to do this every single day for 10 minutes. And believe it or not, like, you can accomplish so much on a compound effect if you just keep doing that over and over and over, that activity, that education, whatever your side else or whatever you come up with to do. I mean, free time is, you know, like you said, you are sitting in the car listening to music. That's great. And, you know, that can be very refreshing. It can be something that people tap into that helps them with so many aspects of life. Music is wonderful, but at the same time, there's so much of that. And how much do you really need, you know? And yeah. Are you designating that time for that, or are you just passing the time?
Correct. Yeah, time can definitely be weaponized, in my opinion. And you hit the nail on the head, it compounds. And that's the beautiful thing that I think a lot of people fail to realize. You know, somebody may look at a project that they want to take down and say, oh my God, where am I going to find the time to do this? It's going to take me years. Is it even worth it? But because they're failing to really audit how they're spending that free time, they don't realize that repurposing 10, 15, 30 minutes of Netflix time into doing some research or into some education, or even having conversations yeah. with people that are in the industry they'd like to break into, they don't realize how much that can escalate, right, over the course of time if you just are willing to be consistent. Yeah. So I'm just really, with the Free Time Podcast, trying to take that excuse away of I don't have time or I don't know something, right? I'm really just trying to simplify it and distill in the, hey, a couple minutes a day could really make the difference in your life. It really could.
That's awesome. So you took this podcasting and you know, partnered up with a couple of guys
yeah.
who were also podcasters. And then you started this podcast production company.
Yeah.
So I want to touch on that for a second. Streamline Podcasts.
Streamline Podcasts. Exactly. So Streamline Podcasts, it's a beautiful thing. It's one of those situations where I challenge anybody to look at what they're currently struggling with in life. You know, what's the current mess in your life, and how can it become a message, or how can it become an opportunity for you to not only, you know, transition from a challenge into an opportunity, but also scale that out to the marketplace. And that's really where Streamline Podcast began. So as I said, you know, I launched a Free Time Podcast earlier this year, and because podcasting for me was more of a loss leader, it's not something that I'm making money on right now. I was paying an arm and a leg to podcast editors, to content writers. Mm-hmm. The list goes on and on for really subpar quality. I mean, you know, I would have people reach out to me. I remember like being on a flight. I usually am on a flight first thing in the morning to like Missouri. And I would have people reaching out to me saying, hey man, just so you know, the first 15 seconds of your new podcast is just blank. Like what's up with that? Oh, and I'm literally getting these texts as like they're like taking off. And I'm like, well, no Wi-Fi. There's nothing I can do now in terms of getting in touch with my editors. And I'm like, why am I paying all this money? And so I got together with a few guys in my mastermind who, as you mentioned, are also podcasters. And they mentioned they were also having similar issues, paying north of $1,000 a month. Can you imagine, for not that great of quality? And we got together and we were like, you know what? We could probably figure this situation out. We could put our heads together, combine our unique strengths and talents, and figure out how to help podcasters in our situation streamline the process at a cost-effective rate. And so we did.
And help yourselves at the same time.
And help ourselves. And that's how it started. We initially didn't even do this to go to the market. We just got a team of engineers and a team of content writers.
Pulled resources
and kept costs low for ourselves. So much so that we saw that it was giving us bandwidth back. We were all able to put out more content. We were all able to be more present in our interviews, so on and so forth. And then we opened it up to a beta round group of folks that, you know, are also podcasters. And we really invited them to come on board and co-create the process with us. And yeah, it's led to a beautiful venture. I mean, it's still early. We're just now getting out the gates, but we're up to about 20 clients or so of podcasters whose shows we're post-producing. And there's nothing better than hearing from a podcaster that I'm so in love with having these conversations. You guys allow me to just focus on having the conversations and I don't have to worry about anything else. Like, I just trust that to you guys and you guys take care of the process. And it just keeps me focused on engaging with my audience and with my guests. And it's awesome to give people that ability. So that's our premise.
Yeah. And I can say, you know, as a live testimonial, right?
Shameless plug.
That Weiss Advice is one of those beta clients using Streamline Podcasts. So this is incredible. And I can say for myself that I really couldn't imagine putting out this podcast if I had to do the work. And I tried. I literally found VAs and tested the waters myself to see how much time it would actually take me to edit, to write notes, to upload, to do all kinds of things. And it just didn't make sense for me to be spending that time. And, you know, thank God, I found Carl and his team, Streamline Podcast, that was able to provide this service. And I'm, you know, very, very happy with it. And, you know, I wish you guys a lot of success going forward. And I think it's going to help a lot of people.
I appreciate that, Yona. And you've been a joy to work with, man. I mean, you and your network are fantastic. And we really do enjoy on the back scenes. I was just telling you off camera, like our audio engineers love working on your stuff because they're learning. Like, you provide massive value on Weiss advice, you know, that transcends the real estate side of things. I mean, it literally is applicable to life. And we have a team of, you know, younger people. They're in their mid-20s that are really enjoying just hearing the information that you get to put out there. So I really encourage you to keep on going with this, man. This is a very beautiful venture that you're taking down.
Awesome. Well, with your help, we will continue to do so.
100%, brother.
All right. So I want to jump into the final four over here.
Let's do it.
Let's do this. So our first question is, what is the worst job that you ever had?
I've had a lot of bad jobs, but I would have to say the worst was one summer I was saving up for a car and I ended up taking a job in a cardboard factory. Bro, this was like a 115 degree building. Oh, man. I was working on an assembly line. A lot of the people that worked there were rougher around the edges and would give me a hard time because they knew that I was in school and obviously they didn't make it through school. And it was a difficult time in my life. But you know what? It humbled me. It taught me what I don't want out of life.
No, and that's an amazing thing. We have an old, you know, adage, thousands of years old, that says that, you know, ask the question, who is a wise man? Right. Mm-hmm. And the answer to that question is one who can learn from everyone. Mm. And so, you know, one of the interpretations, something that I take to heart all the time is, you know, I try to be, you know, someone who's wise, wisdom, you know, learning all the time from everyone. And you can really learn from everyone. But some of those people, you're going to learn what not to do.
Exactly. And sometimes that's so invaluable, especially when you're a younger person and maybe you're not quite sure about what your future looks like. You know, be willing to try different things out and learn very quickly what you don't want to do and go in a different direction. As long as you keep on moving, you'll get there.
100%. So second question is, what is a book you've read that's given you a paradigm shift?
I love that. I'm actually reading The 7 Highly Effective Habits of People right now. And that talks a lot about paradigm shifts. I love that book. I'm not done with it yet. So I'll have to answer The 5 a.m. Club by Robin Sharma. Have you heard of that one?
I have not.
Awesome. Well, it's a great story. It's literally centered around three characters. And I don't want to spoil it for your audience, but it's all about tapping into that special hour that is 5 a.m. and the power that resides by rising early and really taking some time to go inward. You know, a lot of people are chasing outward success. They're chasing things that are external of them that they fail mm-hmm. to understand that all of those things eventually come from the habits and the routines that you've cultivated within yourself. So that book's a very, very powerful narrative, if you will, for exactly how to do that.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll check that out. Definitely. The third question is, what is a skill or talent you'd like to learn?
Ooh, that's a great question. So I actually have I have two answers. I will start off with the more embarrassing answer. The more embarrassing answer is I am not the strongest swimmer and I love being in the water. So I would love to swim. I would love to learn how to swim one day soon. It is on my bucket list. Just never got there as a child. But in terms of what skill I would love to have, I'd love to be able to play piano, man. I love the instrument. I love the way it sounds. There's something mm-hmm. so beautiful about piano and, you know, the music it produces. So I just wish I could find the time. And I'm probably going to have to take a page out of my own book and just create it, right? By repurposing some of my free time. But that is something I'd love to learn how to do later in life.
You gotta get like a piano teacher to come on your free time podcast.
Yeah. Exactly.
You figure out how to get the time to do that. That's beautiful. And for the final question, Carl, what does success mean to you?
Yeah. So I touched on this a little bit earlier, but short and simple, success is service in life. You know, it's not about me. It's not about how much I can acquire, how much knowledge I have, and how I can leverage that against other people. It's about how I'm able to leverage what I've acquired in life and how I'm able to share it with others, right? How I'm able to show others how they can do that in whatever context that looks like for them. It's about giving back because I know that I feel my happiest and I feel most whole when I'm actually lending a hand to somebody that's just a couple paces behind me. So success is service to me.
Beautiful. Right. Right on my page on that one as well, Carl. It's been a tremendous pleasure getting a chance to speak with you, learn a little bit about, you know, your story, what you're doing, what you got going forward. Where can our listeners find you?
Absolutely. So listeners can find me on my website, carlstona.com. I'm actually rebuilding it right now, but it'll be live probably by the time that this airs, I would imagine, mm-hmm. the next few weeks. I'm also very, very active on Instagram, and I'm at KARL.SONA there. I put a lot of content. A lot of it is mindset related, and a lot of it's video based too. So it's something that you can watch and engage with. And then certainly if you'd like to know more about Streamline Podcast, if you're a podcaster listening to this and you'd like to learn a little bit more about our services and how we can help you, you can mm-hmm. feel free to book a phone call with me, 15-minute phone call, and that's streamlinepodcast.com. If you go there, we have a link to our calendar and you can book a call with us anytime.
Awesome. We'll put that in the show notes here. And I think, you know, if anyone's listened this far and they are a podcaster or they're an aspiring podcaster, because you know what? I was an aspiring podcaster for like a year because I was like, I just got to do this. I should do this. I should make a podcast and this and that. And had I known about, you know, Streamline Podcast, or were you guys around like a year earlier, Weiss Advice would probably be up and running for a year already. And that's the truth. So I'd love to offer our listeners a discount. Can we do that?
Let's do it, Yona. Let's do it just for your listeners, though. I don't want everybody to think that they get this special treatment.
Okay, so if you're listening to Weiss Advice and you are a podcaster or an aspiring podcaster and you want to reach out to Carl to learn about their incredible services, not only incredible services, but very affordable. And when I say very affordable, it's crazy affordable. Like I actually reached out to another person that I know and trust in my network who does this and offers this. And it was literally, he was offering it for more than twice the price that they're doing, which, you know, just goes to show you that they could probably be charging more, but I'm sure they're, you know, they're making money on it. So reach out to them and we're going to offer our listeners a discount on the first month, 20%.
20% for Yona Weiss's listeners. And Yona, please make sure you put your special code below. I don't want to shout it out, but you know the code. Put it below.
Okay, so if you're listening, go to Streamline Podcast. Use code Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, or put it in the show notes over here. You know, obviously set up a call with Carl and his team and see if it's worth it for you. But if you do and you end up going forward, you can get a special discount, 20% off your first month. So happy to do that and very happy to have you on here. Carl, it's been amazing. I've loved just communicating with you the past couple of months since we've launched this.
Likewise, man. You are a great human being. Please keep on doing what you're doing. You're putting out incredible content and it really is offering tremendous amounts of value to people that get to listen. So thank you so much, Yona.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that. And to our listeners, I appreciate you joining us once again. It has been a pleasure. And make sure that you stay safe wherever you are, what you're doing. And remember that the best advice comes only when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn, send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.